seated. Thank you. Apologize to the church for a few minutes ago when we started, and I kind of focused on myself for there. Just to be honest with you, sometimes as a pastor, you really battle with a lot of demons. One of mine is being a failure. I hate failing, and sometimes I can feel quite the failure. But this pulpit is not about me. And so I apologize for making it about me in the beginning of this service. I do apologize for that. I am thankful that you are here. I'm thankful for what God has for us this morning, even though it's going to be a difficult, might be a hard teaching for some. We are in our discipleship series, and we are being ready to give a reason for your hope. And that's what several of you got to experience yesterday. Out there sharing, people questioned what they believed. And as Mike said, he was able to share and use apologetics to explain. And so there is a reason we do this. And there is a reason the Bible instructs us to be ready. You know, 1 Peter 3:15, be sanctified by the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense. We are to have to be able to speak to people. Now, we are in our last question or section, Jesus, proving who Jesus is. Like I said, we're going to go a little more in depth this time than I have in the past teaching this subject. Because Jesus, can you say that it's probably one of the most misunderstood people in human history? People are completely confused on who Jesus is today. And so we really, really need to be able to help people figure out the true Jesus. And I'll show you how confused they are about Jesus today. And Jesus is the door. We'll see that. Jesus is the one who decides for us what side we're going to be on. Get to that as well. So to look at Jesus and get our right understanding, I want to start with this question. Whose side is God on? This sermon, like I said, might be a little difficult. Won't make me popular in America, that's for sure. I am not anti-Trump, but I'm going to speak truth about it. I'm not anti-America. You know, I'm a patriot. I served my country. I wore my country's uniform for many years. But I've seen a very disturbing trend for a long time happening in America. But lately, it's kicked into overdrive. It's really kicked into overdrive. You know, as Americans, it's in our heritage to acknowledge God. Would you agree? To be semi-religious, that's part of being American. We have sayings like, for God and country, in God we trust, one nation under God, God bless the America, USA, right? A good American patriot acknowledges God, maybe even Jesus Christ. However, today, most do not know who Jesus really is. Most do not understand who God is. They are Christians in heritage only. And ignorant, I don't mean to be mean, but ignorant of the God of the Bible. They believe in a God who is on America's side. So let's look at this question closely. Whose side is God on? Now, in looking at that question, it's obvious. Well, play it safe. God is on the side of the church, right? You say that? No. Some churches God has warned He will come against. Revelation 2:5, talking to one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. The church has fallen away from God. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. That lampstand is the light. It's the truth. It's the Holy Spirit. It's what makes the church the church. This. He's going to remove His presence and will no longer be a church. One of the other churches, he says this, Revelation 2, verse 16, repent, or else I will come to you quickly and I will fight against them who are in the church. And who can forget Revelation 3, verse 15, to another church? I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Does that sound like he's on the side of the church? Well, there is two churches, persecuted church and the faithful church, Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. The one we are trying to be. It's called the faithful church. To the church, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. You have a little strength. The faithful church is not big. Doesn't have a lot of strength. But they've kept my word and have not denied my name. So can we say, would I say as a pastor, that God is on the side of the faithful church, the Church of Philadelphia? No. I would not say that. I can say this from Scripture. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Can I say God is for us? Yes. Why can I say God is for us? Because we're trying to be the faithful church? Because of our cause, our goodness, our righteousness? No. God is for us because we have joined His side. We have aligned ourselves to His way, His will. There's only two sides in the world, guys. Two. There is God's side, and then there is the world. Satan, sin. You can either be a father, a child of the father of disobedience and everything, or you can be a child of God. There's only two sides in this world. That's it. And there's nothing in between. Even though we want to try to operate in between. Many people want to operate in between those two sides. God is for us because we, as a faithful church, have joined His side, His cause. God does not pick sides with people, with churches, with nations. There is only His side. His will, His plan, His cause. Let me ask you this. Of the two nations, Israel and the United States, who is God's side? Who is God on? What side? You guys are starting to pick up on this, aren't you? Neither. Neither. But let me show you. Not just my opinion, but let me show you. When it comes to nations, God doesn't pick sides. We'll start with Israel. Now, before we go to the verse I want to show you in the Old Testament, let's go back and remember the story. So Moses has brought the Jews out of Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. God has given them the Ten Commandments, and they wandered in the desert for 40 years, and God provided and protected them. And now, finally, it is time to go into the Promised Land. And Moses is no longer going to be their leader, but Joshua. And so the Israelites are about to go over, and they're about to go against the first major city, the first enemy, the city of Jericho. And remember the story, right? The great walls of Jericho. Well, it's right before that battle begins is where we're going to pick up in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" Basically, whose side are you on? Probably pretty intimidating individual with a sword ready to go. And Joshua simply says, "Whose side are you on?" Of course, he should be on Israel's side, right? But look at verse 4. So he said, "No. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come." Whose side is this man on? God's side. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped this individual and said to him, "What does my Lord, master, owner, say to his servant, slave?" This is what we call a Christophany. It's an Old Testament appearing of Jesus Christ, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then he became flesh. But this is before that Old Testament appearing of the Word. And he says, "I'm not on either side." No. Now, what's up with that? I mean, Joshua and the Israelites were there. They weren't there for themselves. They didn't plan this. God came and pulled them out of Egypt. God came and took them to Mount Sinai. God took them into the wilderness. And now God is taking them into the promised land. How can Jesus, this commander of the army of the Lord, say he's not on their side? Yes, God had brought them to this point. Why? To fulfill his plan, his will. They were there to do what God wanted them to do. At this point, they had become a tool of his judgment on the people that he gave 400 years to repent, the Canaanites. He gave them 400 years to turn from their wickedness, and they did not. And so he brings Israel as part of his plan. He's not there because he's on Israel's side. He has brought them there so Israel will be on his side. Because it's all about his ways, his will. And if they did what God wanted them to do, God was for them. And when God is for you, who can be against them? But that was not always the case with Israel, was it? No, we know after they were in the land and God warned them of this. "I am for you, but if you play the harlot with other gods, that'll be it." And that's exactly what they did. Starting with the northern kingdom, after they split the northern kingdom of the 10 tribes of the north, they turned to false gods, and God allowed them to be destroyed by Assyria. Southern kingdom, the last two tribes, conquered by Babylon, taken into captivity for 70 years, brought back. But they go on to reject Jesus as their Messiah. So God allows Rome to destroy Israel, scatter the Jews amongst the nation, and Israel ceased to be a nation. Why? Because Israel did not align themselves to God's side. They went their own way. You see, when it comes to God, you are either on his side or the other side. There's no in between. There's no way of having one foot with God and one foot in the world. Either you're with him or against him. Jesus said these very words, Matthew 12:30. "He who is not with me is against me." That sometimes seems harsh to people. But it's the reality and it's the truth that the world needs to know. Because if you're against God, you are going to suffer the judgment. But if you have a false understanding of God, if you have a false understanding of who Jesus is, of what he actually said and taught, You could end up being on the wrong side and not know it. That's why it's so important for us to take them the real Jesus. So whose side is God really on? He's on His own side. And He graciously offers us to join His side. Because when we're born, we're not on His side. You know, it was interesting if Google would know this. So I typed in the question, whose side is God on? See what AI had to say, right? I was actually impressed. Here's what the first thing that popped up. The Lord doesn't take sides. He is a side. The only side that matters. God doesn't support a cause. He is the cause. By that, I'm not suggesting any concept of Calvinism or predestination. Just simply that God is the only just and right cause for all people. And any cause that isn't 100% in line with God is not His cause. I love that last statement. That is so true. Any cause that isn't 100% in line with God is not His cause. So looking at Israel, one might say, well, wait a minute. If God is not on their side, why is Israel back in the land? It really seems like God is on the side of Israel. Well, that's a good question. Israel is not back in the land because the Jews deserve it. They are no more righteous than any other people on the face of the planet right now. They're just as ungodly, most of them, as Americans, as Europeans, as whatever. Why are they back in the land then? Why does it seem like God is on their side? Well, quite simple, there's two reasons. Israel is back in the land because it is part of God's divine plan of redemption. God planned from the very beginning to choose Abram, who would become Abraham. And through him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Through the nation of Israel, He would bring salvation, the Messiah, salvation, the Word of God, and the church. It all started from the Jews to out to the world. Israel is part of His divine plan. And also, God is faithful to His word and promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Israel being back in the land says God's word is true. You better believe it. They're back in the land against all odds. But not because God is on their side. No, it's part of God's divine plan. And then second, since He keeps His word all the way back from Genesis chapter 12, He hasn't forgotten what happened and He promised in Genesis chapter 12. He keeps His word. He keeps His promises. So now as believers today, when we read in John 5:24 and things like that, that whoever put their faith in Christ will have passed from death into life, we can say God keeps His word. We can trust. God is faithful. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham, obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. He was called out of the land of Ur to the promised land, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, his descendants, his sons, grandson, the patriarchs of Israel. The heirs with him of the same promise. They too were promised what Abraham was promised by God. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. New Jerusalem. Abraham believed by faith in what was God's divine plan of redemption through Israel to all the nations. God's plan has Israel restored and the new Jerusalem there, the holy city. By faith, Abraham believed this. By faith in Jesus. Well, wait a minute, Jesus wasn't around then. Well, let me show you in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith in Jesus Christ, preached what? The gospel to whom? Abraham. Now, it just tells us in Genesis as an historical account that God said all the nations would be blessed. But what we understand now is God explained the gospel to Abraham. He just didn't make the one statement, hey, you knew all the nations. It's a historical account that's summarizing what took place, but there was more said. Abraham was preached the gospel. And in you all the nations shall be blessed. The nation of Israel is part of God's divine plan of redemption. To bring the Messiah, to bring salvation, to bring the Word of God, to bring the church. And to prove that God's word is true and he keeps his promises, Israel is back in the land today. Not because they're on his side, they're not. They still, for the most part, reject Jesus Christ, as most of the world is doing as well. But she is back in the land because God is faithful to the patriarchs. So, Abraham believed, had faith, just like we are called to have faith, in whom God sent, Jesus Christ. And he is the only way. You have to come to God's side through Jesus. John 10, then Jesus said to one of them, said to them again, most surely I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. You are now on God's side. If you are on God's side, then he is for you. And who can come against you? No one. But you understand, you were not on God's side. You were an enemy of God. And being saved through Jesus Christ, being born again, you came to God's side. Yes. Jesus said this, John 14, 6, I am the way. No one comes unto the Father. You see, we're going to the Father's side. As believers, no matter what your nationality. That's what's so amazing about Christianity. You don't have to switch your nationality. You don't have to become something else. You can remain who you are, but you're redeemed now. You're a born-again disciple of Jesus Christ who may speak any number of languages around the world. But you're still saved by the same blood of the Lamb, the same Jesus Christ, the same Holy Spirit, and the same Word of God. And you are the church because we have joined God's side. Jesus is the way. And Jesus said this about himself. He always does the will of the Father. So if Jesus always does the will of the Father, those who follow Jesus and claim him as their Lord should do the will of the Father as well. Would you agree? He always did the will of the Father. If we claim to follow him and love him, we should do the will of the Father if we're truly his. But for many today, they claim Jesus, but they do not want to follow Jesus, nor are they concerned about doing the will of the Father. If Jesus, the Jesus they claim to believe in, it is not the Jesus of the Bible. Let me show you. And since it's not the Jesus of the Bible, they're not on God's side. Let me show you the first one. What did we just see in the Olympics? Horrifying, yes. But expected. People are all up in arms. Jesus said they'll hate him. The world will hate him. Shouldn't take us by surprise. Is this the Jesus of the Bible? No. Jesus condemned all sexual immorality. Sex is between a man and a woman in marriage. Period. Anything outside of that is sexual perversion. Jesus condemned all sexual perversion, and he highlighted a man and a woman marriage joined together. This is not the Jesus of the Bible. This is a false Jesus. You see, we claim Jesus to be on our side. And we're the church. We're the faithful church. But guess what? He's not on our side. If we're going to claim him to be on our side, you better be on his side. These people are claiming Jesus is on their side. False religions of the world. I'm going to give you just a highlight real quick. Mormons, they say Jesus is the spirit child, brother of Lucifer. They've changed Jesus. He's not no longer the Jesus of the Bible. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they say Jesus is Michael the Archangel. So they've completely changed his identity. Islam, they have a reverence for Jesus. As a prophet, not as the Son of God. Hindus, they believe Jesus might be a small g god, or at least a holy man, maybe an enlightened master, as they call it. Even the Buddhists says he's an ascended one. And Buddha came out, Buddha used to be a Hindu. Buddha came out of Hinduism and created the Buddhist teachings. But so they're very close, an enlightened master, ascended one. Catholics, they believe in Jesus, right, of the Bible? No. Because Jesus' death is not sufficient for your sins. So you must have Jesus plus good works and be in the traditionism of the church. And then you still have to go to purgatory because the Jesus of the Bible, their Jesus, is not enough. Bethel, across town, Bill Johnson, teaches that Jesus was not God in human flesh. He was just a man in right relationship with God. False churches everywhere. Jesus is okay with sin. All these people are claiming Jesus to be on their side, but they're not on his side. There's another group that I want to focus on as I close here. The American Christian Patriot. Many Americans claim Jesus is on America's side. Because a good patriotic American, it's in our heritage to believe in God, God and country. Even when I joined the Marine Corps, our motto was Semper Fi, Semper Fidelis. It always meant, when I joined the Corps, it still meant always faithful to God, country Corps. Today it's not. It's country Corps. But when I claimed the motto, I said I was a believer. I was one of these fools that was a patriot. Not being a patriot is fool, but I was foolish saying as a patriot I was a Christian, that I was on Jesus' side, God's side. And I wasn't. Oh, it sounded good, but I wasn't on his side. I was on my own side, and that side was in the world and sin. But it sounds good. Many American patriots claim Jesus as Savior and Lord, but refuse to obey Him. They still live lives full of sin. Been there, done that. Refuse to obey the Word of God. They still claim Him, but we refuse to obey the Word of God. Been there, done that. You know, most of these that are claiming Jesus is all about America, they're patriots and they say they believe. They don't even go to church, let alone serve in the church. And it's just crazy. They refuse to live lives that are holy before God in the world. And they don't want to serve the cause of Christ. No, no, no. Jesus is there to serve their cause, their American cause. They have made Jesus into their own image. Jesus is all about their causes, their politics, their nation, their will, what they want. These pictures are blasphemous. Especially the one where Jesus is wrapped up in a flag and it looks like he's bleeding red, white, and blue. Jesus is not an American. If you just want to go by nationality, he's a Jew, he's Israeli, right? They've hijacked Jesus. Are they about his cause or their own? They claim, I've listened to a lot of these people, and I know some of these people. And guess what? I used to be one of these people. I was one of these people. They claim to be believers, but their lives are full of sin. They're not in obedience to the Word of God. The Word of God says, as disciples, we are to be part of the church. But know what they do? And this is what I said. Oh no, the churches out there, they're all corrupt. You know, same thing Joseph Smith said about the Word of God. Same thing all the cults say about the Bible. Oh, it's being corrupt. And so they come up with their own version of the Bible. Well, the Bible's not corrupted. But see, people do the same thing with the churches today. Oh, all the churches are corrupt. So it justifies them not believing or having to be in church to be obedient to the Word of God. And they claim themselves to be the church of themselves, basically. And I used to do this. I remember clear as day being an unbeliever before I was born again as a Marine, young Marine. And I would be driving past churches on Sunday and I'd be mocking the people going inside, saying that they're the false believers and I was a real believer. I remember this today. I can't believe I thought that. What a fool I was. And that's why I see the fools of today so clear. They say they're the real church. They're the remnant. They've created a false Jesus. They say they love Jesus, but they make Jesus of the Bible all about America. They love America more than they love Jesus. Been there, done that too. Let me ask you, is Jesus on American side? No. Is God going to bless the USA? Well, let me ask you. Give me one reason why God should bless America. Can you give me a good enough reason to say God should bless the United States of America today? Let me ask you this. Is the United States of America on God's side? We are the main exporter, producer and exporter of pornography in the world. We redefined marriage. We are the biggest promoter of LGBTQ and other sexual perversions. I think it's 61, but it might be 63. I forgot to check. But let's just say 61. 61 million babies murdered and counting. God destroyed the Canaanites because they were sacrificing their children. Many American patriots are as lost as anybody out there. Maybe even worse, because they have a false Jesus. A Jesus that doesn't seem to care about their double-mindedness. 1 foot supposedly with him and 1 foot in the world. But most of it's 2 feet in the world and they just want to claim him. Oh. Folks, I'm not trying to be anti-American. And I'm not trying to be anti-Trump here in a second. But we've got to be reality check here. Is America on God's side? No, it's obvious. And even the Republican National Committee, I want you to check this. I want you to verify this. Go back to 2000 when you look at the Republican National Committee platform, what they stand for, compared to 2024. 24 years in between. In 2000, they had in their platform defending marriage between one man and a woman. 2024, it's not even mentioned. They don't care anymore. Marriage can be through whatever. They're not going to defend marriage anymore for one man and one woman. In 2000, well, there was no transgender mentioned in the 2000 platform because it wasn't on anybody's radar yet, right? But did mention in the 2000 platform male and female when it came to marriage. It was saying there's two genders, male and female in 2000. In 2024, no mention of gender anymore. They've given up on defending two genders. It's not in the platform. You can go look it up. It's online. Now, they are against transgender surgery for kids, and that's a good thing. But again, they don't mention that there's only two genders. They're not going to fight that fight anymore. They're willing to compromise. 2000, completely against abortion. Federal ban on all abortions was the platform in 2000. Do you know what it is in 2024? It's not an issue anymore. They think because they've kicked it from the federal level down to the state level, their platform doesn't even deal with it. They think they've done their job on the abortion issue because now it's at a state level. They're no longer seeking a complete federal ban. Now, let me ask you something. If I rob a bank anywhere in the United States, is it against the law? If I kill somebody with a gun anywhere in the United States, is it murder? So we do have things at the federal level that's crossed all state lines. Why isn't abortion for the Democrat or for the Republicans? Why isn't abortion a moral issue like that? It's not good enough that we've just kicked it to the state level. We still need to ban it completely. It's the murder of innocent children. But the Republican Party is going soft on the subject. Do you know why it's going to go soft on the subject? I hate to say this to you. Next slide. Trump pushes new GO platform softening party's position on abortion and same-sex marriage. You see, it's better to compromise and politically to compromise and get people on your board than to stand for what is right. Trump is pushing, and he did, and it was voted and it was accepted. And that's why you can read the platform, and it's very soft on these subjects. Compromise. One more slide. Next slide. Now, I'm sure you've seen images like this. Let's not kid ourselves here. Trump is not on God's side. I don't care if he mentions God and Jesus Christ in his rallies. Jesus very clearly said that there are people who will speak of me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Trump is one of these individuals. Trump has stated that he has never asked God for forgiveness. He says he believes he's lived his life in such a way he doesn't need to ask for forgiveness. Which means Trump has never been born again. Which means he's never put his faith in Jesus Christ. He never went through the door who is Jesus Christ. He is still in his sins. Which means he cannot be on God's side. He is on the other side. Which means there is no way God has anointed Trump with his divine blessing as these pictures are trying to depict. Now, can we say, has God raised Trump up to do his will? Okay, maybe. But God has raised up ungodly leaders in the past to accomplish his will. So yes, you can say maybe God has raised up Trump to do his will. Okay. But what is God's will? Is God's will to make America great again? No. Jesus is not about making America great again. He's not. He's not wrapped up in the flag. Jesus is about the kingdom of God, of taking people from all nations and making them citizens of the kingdom of heaven. So I do not see any evidence of God anointing Trump to make America great again. Lots of people are saying it. I know. What can I say? What can I biblically say about Trump? I can say all leaders in the world are established by God, because that's what the Bible tells us. Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And this doesn't say God is picking the candidates. No. This is just simply saying, going back to Genesis, where God established human government after the flood. And he gave human government the ability to bring the death penalty on its citizens if they murder. Human government has been appointed by God. That's all it's saying. God's not picking the candidates. And yes, you can say if Trump wins in the election, then he's there by God's authority. That doesn't mean he's on God's side. Because if you say Trump is there based on God's authority, then you have to admit that Biden has been there based on God's authority for the last 4 years, right? Right. So, whose side is God on? He is on his own side, folks. Any cause that isn't 100% in line with him is not his cause. What is his cause? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is the cause of God. This is the cause of God from the beginning of Genesis all the way to the end of Revelation. This is the cause of God. Jesus established his church for this cause. And the church, each born-again member, is to align themselves with the cause of the church. The Great Commission, Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. This is our cause. That is why God saved us, to do his will, to be on his side, to fulfill his plan. Now, I'm almost done. We the people. Now, does this mean we stop being American patriots? No. We can still fight for what is right for our country. We can still vote for Donald Trump if you believe he is the best candidate in November. We can continue to resist evil in our country. We're commanded to do that. We are commanded to be salt and light. But what we can never do, and which many are doing, well, but we can't do this. We cannot leave God's side and his cause, the church, the Great Commission, and replace it with the American cause. That God is here about MAGA. That God wants to make America great again. We don't seek what we want and then bring Jesus along to bless what we want. Don't fool yourself into believing God is for America and Jesus is wrapped up in the American flag. He is not. America right now is under judgment. It's obvious we're under judgment. God's not going to judge and bless at the same time. We're under judgment. Romans 1, read it. That's what you see in our land. Should we pray for our nation? Of course. Should we pray that America is great again? Great in what aspect? Godly? Holy? Everyone back in church? Taking the gospel to the world like we used to? Is that what you mean when you say make America great again? Is that what MAGA represents? Is that what Donald Trump represents? Is that what the Republican National Committee represents? No. What they represent with MAGA is prosperity. They want comfortable lives. They want material goods. They want a high standard of living. They want an America that serves them. They want the American dream. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To be honest with you, I'm not big on the American dream. because I've seen how destructive it is to believers. To everybody, really. Pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let's just real quick look at that. Life. In American Dream, life. You can have the greatest life. You can do whatever you want. You can be anything you want. It's all about you. What do you want to do? As believers, are we to have that aspect? No. As believers, our lives belong to Christ. It's no longer I who live, but He who lives in me. I've been purchased with a heavy price. I no longer belong to myself. We're not to live for ourselves, but we're to pick up our cross and follow Him. We're to be living sacrifices. It's no longer seeking what we want to do with our own life. Not if you truly are a disciple. This is our reasonable service. Oh, liberty. Oh, we love freedom. God, freedom comes from... And we have liberty in Christ. There is liberty in Christ. But again, is it to do whatever we want? No. We are free to do what God wants us to do. The pursuit of happiness. What is happiness? What does that mean, pursuit of happiness? Chasing the things the world tells me will make me happy? How you can say some of the richest people in the world, they're committing suicide, they're drugs, because everything they have everything the world says will make you happy, and they're not happy. Is it having enough money, taking nice vacations, material goods, big house, nice car? What is happiness? Happiness comes and goes. Happiness is only there dependent on your circumstances. And if your circumstances aren't good, you're not happy. But instead of the pursuit of happiness, which I think is worldly and is vanity, why don't you pursue the joy of the Lord? I don't pray for America to be great again for their standards of what that means. But I do pray that America would remember Jesus as the suffering servant of Israel, a Savior and true Lord. I pray that America, her people, would repent and be saved, that our people, our nation, would choose to be on God's side. Because that's the only side. God is not wrapped up in our American flag. Jesus does not bleed red, white, and blue. Jesus is not on any nation's side. He is for those who are on His side. Because if you're not on His side, you will be judged. Come on up, team. I'm going to go over just a few minutes, but I wanted to read you something that a buddy of mine posted online. There's a lot of talk about God working to advance the cause of a particular political candidate. It's never-ending theme, regardless of who you support personally. Yet God sovereignly allows and ordains everything that happens. That includes all the things we like, as well as the things we don't. And yes, it's always more powerful for our narrative when it pertains to our own personal agenda and pursuit. It goes on, but be careful pretending like God is an extension of a particular party. Even the one you like. God is not on your political side. He is not sitting in heaven and working the campaign for your team. God does what He wants, and His sovereignty is not limited to the right, left, or even the middle. Issues are important, laws are important, righteousness is important. But never confuse any earthly political agenda with God's agenda. Jesus did not die to make America great. He died so Americans could be saved from their sin. And not just Americans, all people. Many people have a distorted understanding of who Jesus really is, what He's really about. That is why we must correctly understand who Jesus is for ourselves and be able to share that Jesus with people. And this is what the Bible commands us to do. To tell them and show them Jesus Christ, the real Jesus Christ. Call them to repentance. So Jesus can do one of two things in their lives. Jesus can save them, or he can judge them. But we need to share the true biblical Jesus with them so they can make up their own mind. Any questions about what I've said today, feel free to talk to me. This is something that was weighing on my heart that I'm seeing a lot of people hijacking the cause of Christ. And we can't let that happen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I ask you to help us understand that it's not whose side you're on, but that we be on your side. That we'll understand that it's all about your plan, your cause, not our own. And you're for anyone who will be on your side. And you're all for any nation who will align themselves to you. But Lord, if we choose to align to what we want, we stop being on your side, and then you are no longer for us. I ask you to help us understand that as individual believers, as the church, and our people as a nation. Whose side are you on? You are on the side of God. You are the commander of the Lord's army. You're our Savior and you're our Lord. And we acknowledge that we want to be on your side with you. We pray this in your name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand? We'll sing this last song and then we'll get home.
Make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, change your heart above all else. Make a name the world remembers. But all an empty world can sell as empty dreams. I got lost in the light, and it was up to me to make a name the world remembers. But Jesus is the only name to remember. And I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. And I've only got one life to live. I'll let every second point to him. Only Jesus. Trophies won will crumble in dust when it's said and done. 'Cause all that really matters, there is a truth to the ones I love. What's my life to prove that there is only one whose name will last forever? And Jesus is the only name. Jesus is the only name.
they remember me. Only Jesus.
Now, to be clear, I love my country. I'd still lay my life down to defend its freedoms and constitution. And I'm still going to probably, vote Republican and Democrat, or not Democrat, but Trump. I want to see Trump win. But I'm not fooled by the man, and don't be fooled by the man either. He might be a good conservative leader, but he's not a godly one. So do not put too much faith in him. Our faith is in the one, and the one who overcame sin and death, and who sits at the right hand of the Father. And that's whose team we're on. We're on his side. Let's go play for him. Let's go stand up for him. Let's go take the truth of him to the world who is on the other side. Let's go get the job done, folks. Count of three. Let's break out of here. One, two, three. Break. Let's go.